Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. I'm Kevin A.C. Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune, Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. Ryan was at the City Connect unveiling today. We will definitely get into that. Ryan, coming off a 4-2 road trip, about to host the Rockies and the Mariners, Rockies for four. Where would you like to start?
I think we should start by talking baseball. Before we get to the City Connect stuff, and I have thoughts, Kevin, let's talk about baseball. Padres are coming back from a fairly impressive 4-2 road trip. They go to Boston, take 2 of 3, and then do the same against the Pittsburgh Pirates. I think that you could probably excuse away a loss of Paul Skeens, especially on the road. I'm starting to see signs of life from this offense that maybe were not there the last time they left Petco. What do you make of their recent run here?
Yeah, absolutely. And I always give credit when what is happening is something that the people that are doing it said would happen. Now, you could say, oh, they got lucky. No, if you were watching and you wanted to see it, there were signs that they were going about things the right way. That didn't mean they were going to work out. Maybe they just weren't very good. Or maybe they were facing Scooble, Valdez, Landon Root pitched really well. They faced Brandon Webb. When they faced starters that weren't at the top of the game, they handled them. Now, I get it. There is going to come a point this season where they need to beat game starters at the top of the game. But, like, it's early in the season. There's a process happening here. And I think that you're seeing it come to fruition that this offense is kind of finding its identity. I don't know how good they'll be. I don't. But you absolutely see signs of there being capable hitters throughout this lineup. And that is what I think we've seen after 12 games.
I think anytime you sign veterans to sort of prove it deals, you wonder if those guys are washed. You know, it didn't take us very long last year to realize that Jason Hayward was not vintage Jason Hayward, that Yuli Gurriel probably wasn't long for the big leagues. I like the at-bats that I'm seeing from these veteran right-handers, notably Nick Castellanos and Miguel Andujar. What have we seen from them at this point? And I need, this is my once a podcast Ty France question. Ty France seems to be doing fairly well at the plate as well.
Yeah, you know, he hit some balls hard in Boston. He's the one that you figured wouldn't get as many chances. He's the one who made the team. He earned it, but he made the team because Sungmon Song really didn't have a spring training, had the oblique issue. The other two veterans are guys that, they really did kind of target to help them in areas they needed help. That would be notably against left-handers, but also, providing, some time at first base, DH coming off the bench when you need a hit. And look, Castellanos, I thought, was having good at-bats for the most part in spring. And, things are, he's coming around. And Miguel Andujar is right now their best hitter. Statistically speaking. That's nice. Again, I don't know. I'm not going to get carried away in one way or the other, just like I wasn't at 2-4, and I'm not now after they did this 4-2 run, though the 4-2 run is what they said they were going to be. And then they matched up results with process. So that's promising. But like, this is 12 games, so we are in like the second quarter of the second NFL game of the year. So like, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, no, it's a great analogy. It is way too soon to make any sort of grand judgments. They're probably not as good as they've looked the last week, but they probably weren't as bad as they looked the first week either. Let's talk relievers for a second. Number one, any reason to be concerned? Adrian Morahone really imploded 2 days ago. This is a guy who's had a handful of rough outings to start the season, even though he's throwing harder, even though sort of the numbers look okay, or the velo looks okay. What's going on there?
Yeah, so for two of the first three plays should have been made, and he's out of the inning. Now, look, they weren't, and then he's got to get out of the inning. That's the job of the reliever, right? But, and look, there were some balls that were smoked. It looked like he got frustrated, but there also were some absolute, like, They beat the shift. Like, the Pirates hit it where they weren't. That's what happened in that inning. A bad inning by Morahone, but like also an unlucky inning by Morahone, an unlucky inning by the people saying where the Padres infielders should be playing. I mean, yeah. It happens. It was a bad inning kind of all around, right? Mm-hmm. Ball under Gavin Sheets' glove. There was a couple more, there's at least one more that should have been made. And then there was Xander Bogaerts' error. Like, yeah, now pile that on top of, is it four appearances and he's given up a run or allowed an inherited runner, but he's hitting 101. From what I can tell in my discussions, there's not a concern about Adrian Morahone. I mean, Jeremiah Estrada gave up four runs in his first outing, is now reeled off five scoreless, where he really hasn't been touched too much, though he got some nice plays from the outfielders yesterday. Concern. I think concern's a fair word just because it's like, whoa, wait a minute. This was one of our guys. But I don't think worry.
Right. You don't have to depend on your defense when you're striking out everybody you face. And I think if we're going to talk about Morahone's struggles, let's put some of this Mason Miller stuff into context. We're witnessing something special to start this season.
Yeah, we're witnessing something special to start the season and a continuation from last season. Like, no one had faced 18 or fewer batters. He's faced 18 batters and struck out 13 of them. Never been done by a reliever to start the season. Okay, great. 26 and two-thirds scoreless innings. That has been done before by a reliever, but to strike out 55 batters in that span, that has not been done. And like you said, right, like, that's the importance of it, right? Like, you don't put the ball in play, there's really not anything anyone can do about it. And right now, Mason Miller didn't suggest this, but I think the rest of us see it, that batters just don't look like big league batters in there, like even walking to the plate. And I always hesitate, and I rarely do it, to assign what I think a major league ball player is thinking while I'm watching him, right? Like, we can project onto anything. Ryan, I think you look, you know, ecstatic right now. What? Like, how do you know? And certainly any of us putting ourselves in the place of a major league ball player. But you can kind of see it, right? And yesterday, talking with Mason Miller, when we talked with him, like, there was a little acknowledgement of, yeah, you know what, I'm going well, and the batters probably sense it, and I'm feeling confident, and they're not feeling confident. And that's something I'm just going to ride right now. You know, he didn't say it was going to happen forever. But I think that kind of everyone can see that he is in a dominant mode right now that is. I don't want to say unprecedented, because I haven't been watching baseball for 150 years. And I know there were a lot of hard throwers and good pitchers before, but this has got to be one of the most dominant stretches in history.
Right. The Padres don't have much of a history to hang their hats on, but they do have a pretty great tradition of closers. And what he's doing is spectacular, even by that very high standard.
Yeah, you know, it's dominant, right? Like, what they asked Gossage mm-hmm. to do was different, right? Like, those were some incredible saves by yeah. that guy. Trevor is a Hall of Famer. End of story. There is no comp right now to the career that Trevor Hoffman had. And then there was a bunch of, like, good guys, right? And we all noticed them too, by the way, because they were the only all-stars on the team for a long time. Houston Street, Heath Bell, good players, not in the realm of the other guys, okay? And there are a lot of good guys going back. Raleigh Fingers, there's really good. There's Trevor, and there's everybody else.
Yes.
And
yes,
there might yes. be Mason Miller one day. I mean, this is, yeah. let's enjoy it. I'm not trying to downplay it. This is amazing. Like, you come in, I'm not putting Robert Suarez or anybody else down, but it's a different feeling right now, isn't it? Like, the Reaper's coming in and it's over.
It is. It is. Cue up the tool, right? Here comes Mason Miller. Padres playing the Rockies. A number one example, Kevin, of why small sample sizes, you shouldn't make too much out of it. The Padres and the Rockies have the same record. Heading into today's game, the opener tonight, it's fitting because the Rockies, it appears, are going to use an opener tonight when they face the Padres. Last time it was this spot in the rotation, they used a guy named Brennan Bernardino. He did fairly well. Padres are going to counter with Randy Vasquez, who, you know, he's 1-0 with a 0.75 ERA in two starts, just like we all drew it up. He's been their best starting pitcher so far this season.
Yeah, two quality starts and, you know, just really, really, really good. Two different kind of starts, right? Like new Randy and a little tiny bit old Randy there in Boston. But that was like, what's cool about that is now that he's got the velo and he's kind of trusting his stuff, what we were saying all along, the most generous, analysis of Randy Vasquez for the better part of 2 years was, man, there he must be really good to be able to get out of this trouble all the time, right? Like, you know, while acknowledging, you know, he was getting in trouble. Well, now if he has that sort of mentality, that sort of stuff, a little bit of velo, confidence growing by the start, like, yeah, absolutely. This is a guy that you're feeling really good sending out. And I think you're feeling really good sending him out in that Nick Pivetta and Michael King are pitching well. And so now you're like, all right, three guys. And it lessens the sting of Joe Musgrove being on the IL and kind of uncertainty about the other guys. Because at least, right? At least it's like, okay, all right, you had what you sort of hoped you had at the top, right? It's just Randy stepping up into the Joe role. So I think that right there is part of the reason, like, why, man, Randy Vasquez continuing to pitch like this would just be huge for the Padres.
Absolutely. And I will recommend a Q&A that we posted on our website just about an hour ago from Annie Heilbrunn. It's a Q&A with Randy Vasquez. It's everything you want to know about Randy Vasquez. He learned how to throw, and to a certain extent, pitch by throwing bottle caps in a game that they play in the streets in the Dominican Republic. He had to be taught how to hold a baseball. Okay. He signed when he was 19, not 14, not 16, 19. A fascinating Q&A with a guy who I frankly wanted to learn a lot more about, and now I do. So, please
think about that talent. He's only 27, I think.
Right. Yeah.
So like late signer is now in his third season as a full-time starter for the Padres and had pitched before that with the Yankees 2 years starting and relieving. Like that's some moving right there. That's some talent.
To go from like not really playing a lot of baseball to the Yankees bullpen is fairly impressive there. Saturday, Ryan Feltner, going up against, I'm sorry, we should go. This is a 4-game series, Kevin. Friday.
Yes, it is. I was going to say, you know, because I didn't get in until early this morning. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure he skipped Friday, but maybe I'm wrong.
Tomoyuki Suzano, a nice start for him. The former Oriole, 1-0 with a 1.69 ERA against Walker Buehler. He's really struggled, 0-1 with a 9.45 ERA. It will be interesting to see how Buehler fares back home at Petco Park. And as he continues to, we talked about this on the last show, work through some stuff he's trying to work through.
We can go back to Buehler.
Oh, sorry. Sure. Saturday. Well, it's kind of the same song, different verse with Herman Marquez, who goes up against Ryan Feltner on Saturday. Marquez worked around some trouble when in his last start, ended up, you know, lowering that ERA to 4.5. Doing a little bit better. Kevin, I know we talk about these guys in tandem a lot, but what do we need to see from both of them?
Well, I was good. I'm glad that you reminded me that we talked about Buehler because that was Boston and we had the Pirates podcast. And so we don't need to get back into it. I just was like, you know, yeah, for him, it's after the second inning, right? Because for two innings, everyone in the dugout's like, all right, cool. He's doing exactly what he was working on and all that. And then, boosh, and it's holding the new mechanics and the new mentality and being in shape and all that, Walker Buehler needs to, continue to improve on. And then Herman Marquez, that was an extremely encouraging start in Pittsburgh. Because like he's not a dominant ace anymore, but if you can have that ace mentality and figure out how to pitch as you are now and get out of trouble because you believe in yourself, like that's what it looked like Herman Marquez did with the requisite 95-96 and for him the requisite curveball is working. So that was huge. And I believe, again, somehow we have lost Ryan. Maybe Ryan will be back with us shortly. we will go to Sunday as Nick Pivetta. And I'm going to be honest, because I landed at 3 a.m. You know, it's the Rockies. That's not to say that the Rockies, hello, Ryan, welcome back. That's not to say that the Rockies can't come in here and take three of four, two of four. We've seen that before. But I will say this, and Ryan, I'll ask you in a minute, in a second here, you'll see my point here. We don't get to start, unless you're going to tell me the Rockies made a trade and Scooble's pitching on Sunday, because that's where we're at. We don't get to talk anymore, because I have defended the Padres a lot about the quality of pitching they're facing. And I have mad respect for anybody pitching in the major leagues. And I do understand that any of these guys almost can step up on any day and pitch really, really well because they're in the major leagues. But the Padres are not facing a top flight starter over the next 4 days. So we don't get to talk about that anymore. Who's starting for the Rockies on Sunday against Nick Pivetta?
Kyle Freeland, 1-1 with a 2.30 ERA.
Almost had to eat my words. That's a really good pitcher, but I don't care. Like it's a really good pitcher, but it's not Scooble. It's not even Sonny Gray. This is not even Bubba Chandler, Mitch Keller, or Paul Skeens that they just faced. Three good pitchers in Pittsburgh. One game didn't do very well. Two of them, but I'm just saying, like, this series, you know, Ryan and I don't ever, like, we preach that anything can happen in baseball and all that stuff, but this is one you like to see the Padres get, you know, on track here.
Right. We learned, Kevin, I think it was 3 years ago, my first year co-hosting this show with you, that life is a lot easier when you beat the teams you're supposed to beat, right? The Padres shouldn't be able to roll out of bed and beat anybody, but the Rockies are on that list, right? This is, if you can beat the teams that you're supposed to beat, especially early in the season, just your path to a winning record in the playoffs, just because.
Well, this is back. You are right. Your first season was 23, and that was the year. Like, we thought maybe your first season would end with us covering a World Series, right? And that was the year. And they lost 5 of 6 to the Pirates. They had a losing record, I'm almost positive, against the Rockies. And let's see, I think they split with the Nationals. I mean, go down the list of bad teams. And the Padres did not do what they should have done, where it turned out if they'd done until September when they beat up on bad teams, if they'd done just a little better against the Pirates, Padres are in the playoffs. Like, and now take the last 2 years, 90 plus wins, and the Padres have won. What is it now? Is it 14 of 15 against the Pirates? 13 of 15, I think, against the Pirates over the last 2 years, because the Pirates stink. And so, yes, that is why I say the Rockies just should not be a team that we're talking about after we're going, oh, wow, you know, that opener on Friday, man, he was throwing so well, and he went 3 innings and 8 pitches. And no.
Right, exactly. Kevin, we've made the people wait long enough. Let's talk about the City Connects. I was up at an ungodly hour today at Petco Park by about 6:30, and we have photos of the new Padres City Connects for those of you watching as we broadcast live here. It is a more muted City Connect. It is not pink and mint. It is a very, very deep navy with some orange and yellow. Loosely based off of Dia de los Muertos. Kevin, you've seen concepts dating back, what, a year or more on these. Is this fairly close to what you were told was coming, and what do you make of them at first glance?
Well, a couple months ago, I guess we knew that this was coming. This wasn't necessarily what I was expecting based on a year ago, except the whole Dia de los Muertos. And, you know, hey, I'm the wrong guy. I wear one brand of shirt and one brand of pants, and I look pretty much the same every day, and I like muted. So I'm kind of a fan of these. I am, because they're kind of plain, it seems to me. The other ones grew on me. But I don't get too riled up. I don't know. What do you think? I, as a matter of fact, I think it's good use. I did not like your era of the clown uniforms. I did not like the orange and blue. I, as a matter of fact, that's, I'm not being strong enough to tell you how I felt about those. But I think this is a good use of those colors.
So what do I make of the City Connects, Kevin? Man, see, I have thoughts here. I have thoughts. In theory, I like it. You know, it's navy blue, it's orange. Harkens back, I think, a little bit, especially with that deep navy, to the Padres 1998 sort of softball jerseys that they wore all the way to the World Series. I like that the piping on both the sleeves and the pants, to me, calls to mind a little bit of what they wore in 84 with those pullovers. And, you know, this jersey is a pullover too. There are no buttons on it. So in a way, I like that it harkens back to some of the Padres' best teams. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more color. You know, to me, they have such great colors there with the navy and the marigold and sort of this hot pink, but it's kind of purple. I would have loved to have seen that on kind of a hat with a colorful front panel, like what they used to wear. But I also get it. You know, after wearing the mint and the pink, super loud City Connects, I'm sure people just wanted something a little different. And this is more muted. It'll probably be seen on people above the age of 12. Where their old ones, I think, were beloved by kids, but maybe not by adults. And it's an interesting look. It ties together sort of their navy blue era and their brown era in a very clever way. But again, you know, we haven't seen them on the field yet. I'm very excited to see what they look like in action. Most of the time, you know, we get our best feel for how these uniforms are once we see players wearing them. So those are my thoughts on the new City Connects.
Like, look, Fernando Tatis Jr., the picture we're showing now, like, he looks good in anything. So he's going to pull these suckers off. But I like them. I do. I think they're kind of neat. I'll be interested to see how people respond to the whole thing. There's the theme and all that. But like, if your hopes aren't too great, I like the bone pants. I like the little stripe on the side. If you don't want to hate, I don't think you're going to hate these. If you don't want to love them, I don't think you're going to love them. I think they're cool. I think they'll maybe a lot more old people are going to like these. What do you think, Ryan?
I like them. The narrative, the storytelling, you know, okay, it's cool.
Ryan was at this and, you know, got the work done today. Check it out on the website. And we'll have more coverage tomorrow. Ryan, are you back?
That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.